What's up, guys? Welcome to a new podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic. Of course, it's the AgriGold podcast. I got Mitch Moore from the football staff here with me. Mitch, you see all the farmers out in the fields, my man.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be out there, and those AgriGold farmers are kicking ass and taking names.
There's no question.
What's
There's
up,
no
buddy?
Question. Good, man. It's good to be here. It's been a year.
It has.
It's been a year, man.
Back by popular demand now, I had Kuzieski on a couple of weeks ago, and I had a bunch of guys respond in the forums, and they're like, man, that was really good. We really enjoyed it, but we got to get Mitch Moore back.
I love it. I love it.
Now, your claim to fame is last year you came on here, and you're like, man, this Mike Warren guy is going to be legit.
He's big time.
Well done.
Well, I was correct.
Well done.
He is. And he's got more to come. More to come, so you're hearing it now.
Campbell said that he's got to get him to go to like another level.
Yep.
Are you seeing that behind the scenes?
Yeah, you are. Just his work ethic is starting to get second to none, and he's understanding the game of football, you know, better now that he's seen it, a year of experience. And I think more importantly is he's bringing guys along with him, you know, and what Campbell's kind of reached out to him and asked him to do, and Coach Ianni is, hey, we know you're here, but let's bring some guys with you from that group. And he's done a great job. He's working his tail off, and you can see it. His body's changed a little bit, and his level of confidence around the facility has changed a little bit. You know, you can tell he's the leader, and he's taking some things on his shoulders, and he's doing a great job. And he's just even from a personality standpoint, he's not as shy as he was. He comes in our offices, he talks a little bit, and good kid, great family, and exciting to have him on our team. No question.
Yeah, what's crazy about him is that he didn't even play in like the first two games last
no.
year. Like all those stats.
Think about that.
10 games, and that's the bulk of your schedule in reality.
Yeah. You're exactly right. We had a couple different backs and kind of back by committee those first couple games, and then he really exerted himself those game three, and the rest is history. But you know, he's got to get bigger and he's got to get stronger, and he's the target's on his back. You know, guys are going to go after him this year and know that he's the featured back, and I think he'll be able to handle it. That's what he wants. I mean, big-time competitor, that's what you want. And he'll be the guy that we'll ride his coattail for sure.
I want to talk to you about some other specific guys, and I want to get your pick your brain on the Cavs. Yeah. You're a big LeBron guy.
Nine games, nine wins, correct? I mean, lost? Have we lost yet?
I saw this morning that Kevin Love is undefeated in the playoffs.
Never lost a playoff
game. That's
insane. Think about that.
I mean, now they're playing in the JV conference.
And he never played in any before he got to the Cavs.
That's
but
true.
The JV, yeah,
I
okay.
mean, well, I'm a Bulls fan. Like, I'm a...
Fair enough.
I mean, I just follow Freddie around just like you do LeBron.
He texted me the other day. I think I saved a text screenshot of it just because, you know, he's still my man.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, we'll get to that.
Okay.
I think it's fascinating talking to guys like you and Lou and Nick Uhlenhop, the holdovers from the Paul Rhodes staff.
Sure.
And I don't want this to get weird for our viewers and listeners. You love Paul Rhodes.
Love Paul. Great guy, great man.
Yeah. But there's major differences between the two staffs. I guess what's been the biggest change for you? You have a new role as well, but how's that transition piece been for you?
You know, just the approach to recruiting and how we've done it, not necessarily better or worse, but just how we've done it has been a lot different. The areas we're targeting, we're really sticking to the Midwest a little more than we have maybe at the end of Paul's era.
And so that wasn't something Campbell just said in his press conference.
No, that wasn't just lip service. He's sticking to his guns. And I mean, you look at our commitments, and our guys have already committed. 11 committed. Four from the state of Iowa already.
Yeah.
You know, and now granted, the state of Iowa is probably as good as it's been, and you know, the 15 years that I've really paid attention to Iowa high school football. But you know, just the Minneapolis and Chicago and Kansas City, Omaha area, and then Iowa, we've really targeted heavily in December and January. And then this spring, we've been out and been everywhere. You know, I think we've been to 87 Iowa schools already, and we'll hit a couple more here before it's all said and done. But, you know, and social media, we've really embraced that presence. It doesn't mean we're working any harder or any less than we did with the last staff. It just means that you guys are seeing what we're doing,
and so how I try and explain it to people.
Yeah.
It's like the road staff was trying.
Oh, there's no question.
They weren't putting it out for the entire world to see.
Right. And I think when it's not that we're doing it to show you guys we're working harder. It's just when you promote yourself on social media like that, kids around the country, it comes across their feed. Iowa State football, Matt Campbell, you know, John Kuzieski, Lou Ianni. It's coming across their feed, and they're saying, Iowa State, Iowa State, Iowa State, and so. you know, we've really embraced the social media aspect. And then to add to that, you know, the video and all those things, it's gotten better and easier to use, you know, and people.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So 5-6 years ago, you couldn't just put a video together in 30 seconds and say, put this thing out on social media, but it's been able to, you can do that now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've done a really good job, really good job. You know, you mentioned you had Coach Kuzieski on here. He's as good as they get in this business, as good as I've been around and some of the stuff he does and his ideas and everybody's on the same page right now and we haven't lost a game, so it's easy to like us,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I mean, well, I asked Kuzieski about that too. I get your take on it. Does it make recruiting? Because I've seen this in coaching transitions over the years. Where is it almost easier to recruit when you haven't played a game? Because
you're
just selling hope.
What can you negatively recruit against this? I mean, Matt Campbell's not going anywhere, right? He's going to be here for the remainder of any guy we recruit right now. He's going to be there for his entire career. Period. End of story. Right. We haven't lost a football game, and everywhere these guys have been, they've won. And so what are you going to sell a recruit that we can't do right now? You know, we haven't proven that we can't do things. And so, you know, we've done a good job of selling just that. You know? And then I think something that Coach Campbell is again, he said in his press conferences and said multiple times, but academically, that's been a big difference in our program, just what we've done and holding these kids accountable and working with Patrice and her staff and the academic staff. And just you can tell as their grades get a little better and guides, we're holding guys a little more accountable. It's starting to pay off in the weight room too. They're, instead of showing up at 5:51 when they're supposed to be at 5:50, they're there at 5:49 in the morning. I mean, it just little things that carry over in the program that, but I think I heard Coach last night say that the best semester we've had in 12 years here academically.
That's great.
It's unbelievable.
That's great. I want to follow up on something you said about Iowa high school football. You said it's the best you've seen in 50 years. Why is that?
Well, in 15.
15, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Just
50 years, that would be a long time.
That'd be a long time. And maybe it is. Yeah. Maybe it is 50
years. I mean, we're
years.
Not even that old. But,
no, we're not. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
I just think maybe the recruiting services and Huddle and those things were being able to identify kids better.
Okay.
That might be some of the reasons, but we've got some, you know, we've got great Iowa high school coaches. We really do. Going around the country and coming into some of these schools too, you see that we've got great high school coaches that are doing a great job of, you know, developing these guys. And then, you know, we've got, I think 16 or 17 kids in the state right now that are committed to Division I programs, and then if you look at our state historically, it's probably somewhere between that 8 and 11 range. Mm-hmm. Right now, we've already got, you know, the number that we do, and I think there's probably another 3 or 4 out there that are still going to earn Division I scholarships. So, for whatever reason that is, you know, I think a lot of credit goes to the Iowa high school coaches, and then you know, we've both all the major programs in the state have you know, got in those Iowa high schools and seen the kids that can play at this level and offered them scholarships and away we go. But, you know, I can't pinpoint one reason, Chris, or why it's the best it has been, but it is, for whatever reason it is this year.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
We got Mitch Moore with us here from the football coaching staff. A few things I want to talk on. Some of these newcomers,
yeah,
who'll be coming in. So the freshmen come in June. Is
yep,
that accurate?
Yep, coming in here in June. Yep, they'll be here and they'll take some summer classes and we'll get them rolling academically and get them acclimated to being on campus and knowing the university and the land of the university. And then we'll get them in working out with our strength staff kind of individually. And then once July hits, we'll put them in with everybody else. But really, just kind of a 3-week acclimation period, both academically and athletically, and then we'll let them run a little bit.
A guy who I know a lot of fans are going to want me to ask you about is Chase Allen. That was to me, you guys were recruiting incredibly well down the stretch.
Sure.
Last year, and it seemed like, you know, every Saturday there'd be a couple kids committing.
Yeah.
And people flipping and whatnot. But I thought when Chase Allen committed, it was almost like Lazard in that one class where it just gave you guys a ton of momentum. And we saw other guys come after that. Is that accurate with what Chase did?
Yeah, I would say it is accurate. And just the caliber of kid he is on top of his athletic skills, but who he is, you know, a father who's a big-time college coach, who was, and just the background that he has and all the things that he brings with him. Other recruits around the country say, hey, well, that guy's going to make the jump. why shouldn't I? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and we did a great job developing a relationship with Chase, you know, Coach Campbell and Coach Golish and his tight ends coach, and really everybody on staff. It's a group effort. I mean, it really is. There's not one guy that lands a recruit, but you know, Chase just brings a ton of things to our program from an athletic standpoint that we can all see on tape. But I think it's those other intangibles. He's a smart kid. He loves the game of football. And then on top of it, Chase Allen came to Iowa State because he loves Iowa State.
That's what's cool about it to me.
He wants to be a Cyclone. I mean, he came – I think what made his final decision was he came to the basketball game that night on a Monday night, and, I mean, the student section knew who he was. I mean, that's crazy. The student section's chanting his name, and that wasn't nothing that we did. They saw him, you know.
Yeah.
That's what Iowa State's about. The community and the fans here are really second to none, and Chase felt that, and he felt at home, and it was huge for us. Huge for us.
I'm kind of obsessed with the Bailey twins too.
They're characters.
I don't want to like overhype anybody but like doing that to freshmen. They seem really good.
They're really good players. Everywhere you go, everywhere you talk to people around the country, they'll say that. You know, being in Jacksonville, we're actually flying back there this week. But guys are going, man, you guys got some good ones in the Bailey twins. They're explosive.
Good.
You know, they play with their hands. They attack the ball. They've got a love for the game of football, just like we talked about with Chase. You know, and they've got a hunger to be good. I mean, they don't want to just be guys that everybody's hyped up and they come up and have an okay career. They want to be great football players. And so to get one of them is exciting. To get both is really neat, you know. And Coach Veit, kind of get the lead recruiter in that deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's relentless. He's as good as anybody. I mean, you'll give him a list of 9-10 schools to get to in a day, and the guy will come – he'll call you at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and he'll have hit 12 or 13. I mean, that's
nice.
It's incredible. It doesn't happen. You know, he's relentless, and he did a great job of getting those guys. And I think it'll pay dividends here in the next couple of years.
Now, the one guy I've heard interesting stories about is Zeb Nolan now. He's like, what, 17? And I've heard that he's almost overwhelming, like, how much he wants to learn. Like,
unbelievable.
Just won't leave you guys alone, right?
You know, we were talking about it. There's a couple of us this morning. We're talking about it in the staff room, and we're just talking about the future quarterback and what we've got. You know, we've got another guy from the state of Iowa. I can't say his name, but it's going to come in too. And just talking about Zeb, you always talk about when you're recruiting guys, you know, what's their story? Not just their athletic ability, but what's their story? How have they been raised? What have they been groomed to become? And Zeb's a guy who's got a father who was a high school coach, as many of us know, and just an outstanding leader. As his dad, you can tell being around him, he's got a presence about him. And Zeb has – the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. He's the same kid. I mean, he – at practice, you know, it's like day four, and he threw a level two seam over the middle, you know, got through a linebacker in front of the safety, and the guys caught it. I mean, everybody on the practice field, you could just see everybody's eyes go, holy cow, this guy can play a little bit. So, you know, it's exciting. But on top of all that, his arm strength and his IQ for the game of football, you're right. I mean, he's up in the office every day, you know, coach, what can I do here? How are my feet here? How are my mechanics here? You know, what am I reading here? What am I doing here? And he's just in Coach Hoffer's hip pocket. And all those things that you want and you crave so bad in a quarterback, you know, at all positions you do. But a quarterback, you've got to have a guy who's going to be a natural leader and a natural, I want to be the best at what I do. And Zeb's got all those things. He's got all those things. And he's got a cool name. Zeb.
Zeb Nolan.
Zeb Nolan.
Yeah.
It just sounds sweet.
Yeah, it does. And so then you the other quarterback is Jacob Park coming in this summer, right?
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of
a wild card
the Steele Jantz story, It's like this guy could either be like a Heisman contender or we could never hear from him. That's kind of how I envision this young man.
This is interesting, too. A really close friend of mine, Coach Patterson, who's now the head coach at NEO, was down at Trinity Valley and helped us get, you know, Wiltz and some of those guys and Jocelyn Thomas. You know, he's got Park there now, and he's just like, this guy, he's got all the moxie. He's got all the tools.
He seems like it. Even, like, look at pictures of him. Yeah. It's like, that guy's cool.
He's just a cool dude.
Yeah.
You know, and so – but I don't think we need to get anything twisted. Joel Anning's the guy.
No question.
But you can't win in this league unless you've got more than one quarterback, because so many people don't understand is whoever your two and three string quarterback is, those guys got to come in and practice and run your offense as efficiently as Joel does.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're putting ourselves in position to have really three, four quarterbacks that can come in with our second team or if Joel needs a break with the first team and come in and run our offense efficiently and be able to make all the throws that Joel's makes and be able to make the reads and be able to line guys up. And I think the three that we've taught, you know, the two others and Joel that we talked about, I think all are certainly have the capability to do so. Park is, you know, you just like the guy. He walks in the room and you like the guy, you know, and which is I think will be easy for him to come in here and his teammates are going to feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really are. But he's got he's a four-star quarterback coming out of high school. I mean, the guy can play football.
Yeah, the talent there is undeniable. Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the main guys, the newcomers I wanted to ask you about. Joel Lanning, I know you're tight with him.
Yeah.
It was always interesting because I remember even like his true freshman year, you would kind of hear like the tools are there.
Yeah.
He's just got to figure it out.
Yeah.
I feel like he's kind of figured it out at this point. Is that accurate?
Yeah. You know, there's two ways you can look at him. He's had a bunch of different offenses he's had to learn,
mm-hmm.
right? So sometimes say, well, he never really gets versed in an offense.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, he learns an offense, he's got to learn a new one, which some of that's true, right? But on the flip side of that is he's learned a whole bunch of different ways to throw a comeback, to
mm-hmm.
throw a dig over the middle, what he's reading here. So, I mean, he's seen a ton of football from knowledgeable guys. So the guy gets he's done a good job of studying in every offense that he's been in. And Coach Manning and Coach Hoffer have just done a great job with him of really getting to learn this offense as good as he can. And he plays good when it's chaotic. I mean, he's like when he doesn't have to think and things are going slow, when things are coming at him, he's got a calm sense about him that he just let's just go play ball like we're playing in the backyard. Let's
mm-hmm.
you know, and so with our offense, we're going to up-tempo some things and we're going to do some things and we're going to throw things at him. And Joel's handled everything we've thrown at him with great, you know, just a great sense. He really has. And talk about a guy that can make all the throws. He can make every throw you ask of him. He can pull the ball and run. And he's got a toughness about him when he's in the huddle and he says something to whether it's a left tackle or whether it's Mike Warren or whether it's Alan Lazard. Those guys are going to look him in the eye and listen to him and believe what he's saying because he's done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's won a state championship as a high school kid. He's been through a lot of adversity here in the last 2.5-3 years. And now he's going into this season as the guy. You know, it's not like, hey, what do I have to do to impress this guy? Joel's the guy. You know,
I like the thing I like about Joel is he kind of comes off with that attitude, like, I don't care what you think.
Yeah, no, and he doesn't. He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care what I think.
He kind of like, it's like he's moving on to the next. Like,
yeah.
You know, he's constantly like moving. I like that.
Well, you talk about, you know, when I sit and watch recruiting film, like you and I and everybody, we've all got great highlight films. I mean, that's what it's a highlight film.
Well, right? I don't.
Well, but if you did, you know.
Yeah.
So you talk about Joel, if he has a bad play or a bad throw, it doesn't ever carry over to the next play.
Yeah.
Just like you're saying, it's water off his back.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Heck, I don't care. That's over. I don't care. Let's go to the next play.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that quality in a quarterback's huge because a lot of guys, quarterbacks, even at the NFL level, is you see him make a bad throw and God dang it, that's going to affect him the whole series.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go to the sidelines to calm down.
You see
Joel's
that
not that way. Joel is exactly like you said. Let's move on to the next play. So,
at what point do we see Lanning just lay somebody out this year?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he does the toss out to Warren, and then he's like the lead blocker.
Yeah. Well, if you ask me and Coach Hoffer, our answers to that may vary a little bit. Me, I hope game one.
Yeah.
Coach Hoffer probably game eight and get a chance to hit somebody like that. But Joel's just such a competitor that if somebody's in his way, he's going to run him over, and if he needs to block, he'll be the lead blocker.
I was surprised because it was the day that Campbell got hired. I was talking to Joel and Alan on the side, like, just, and I didn't have a recorder going. I was just kind of shooting the breeze with them. And I asked Joel about sliding, and he's like, I'll never slide.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a football player. I'll never slide. And then, like, Hoffer got to his ear, and I think Campbell had gotten to his ear. And this spring, he's like, yeah, I'm probably going to have to get down more often. I'm like, no, Lanning, you can't.
Well, and you're
the Joel dozer.
You're right. Yeah, the Joel, I love it. And I think, you know, there's a little bit of both. I definitely see what the coaches are saying is, you got to protect this guy. Doesn't matter how big and how tough you are, the wrong hit to the shoulder can affect our whole season, you know, or affect, you know. So I think he's got to be smart in doing some of those things. Now, safety's coming, the Texas safety's coming one-on-one in the middle of the field, and he doesn't need to, you know, slide, then run him over, I think. And Joel will get – he's getting smarter and understands the game that he'll know when to and when not to. But I'll promise you this. He'll run somebody over this year at some point. That's and I promise you this. He'll run somebody over, and he'll come off the sidelines and get a little earful from Hopper. Too, so.
That'll be well worth it.
Yeah, and he'll slide. He'll slide. Now, Joel's a heck of a baseball player.
Yeah.
Growing up. And his brother wrestler. Was great. Yeah, good
wrestler. He's a good athlete all around.
Good at everything he does. So. Yeah.
Didn't his brother play in the bigs?
You know, I think he might have played in the minor leagues or somewhere there, but – I played against his brother a little bit growing up. He was as good as a baseball player as I played against ever, you know, and everybody says Joel, who didn't practice baseball ever, would just pick a bat up when it was baseball season, be the best guy on the team. So now he's an incredible athlete, really an incredible athlete.
I'm looking forward to seeing a couple of these newcomers on defense too. I think it's sexy and easy to talk about the offense, but the guy I heard a lot about was DeAndre Payne. Oof. Like I heard that he
is like
just legit,
just explosive as an athlete as we've got on the team. Great body control. He's got a great drive and passion for the game of football, which is you know, he's been through a lot, been in a couple different places, and I think he knows this is his last stop, and this is going to be his ticket if he wants to get somewhere. And he's really taken that.
Could he make the league?
Yeah, he's got enough explosiveness and enough foot speed and enough, you know, he can cover ground, he can do all those things. Now, he's gonna have a great couple of years here, but he's got the tools and he's got the work ethic, and he's the game of football is really important to him. You know,
we've had a bit of a draft drought at Iowa State recently. I mean you're as integral in the recruiting as anybody over the last 2-3 years. You think that does that start to slow up here the next couple of years? We get some guys in the league?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at a guy like Alan Lazard, and if you're an NFL team, why wouldn't you take a chance on a guy like that? He's a special individual. And there's some guys, you know, Jamal Wiltz, he ran a 4.39 or something for the NFL, the junior day. I mean, the guy can flat out fly. You take a chance like a guy like that. You know, you don't come to Iowa State or you don't go to anywhere to go to the NFL. You go there to get a degree. But on that same token, I don't want to go into a guy's house and ask him, do you want to go to the NFL, and have him say no, because I want him to be the best at his craft as he can be. So I think every one of those guys, they should, in the back of their mind, say, if I'm going to play major college football, I also want a shot to go to the NFL. So, you know, have we had a drought? Yeah, we have, but we've had some really good football players, and we've had some guys, you know, that have played really significant minutes in the NFL in the last 10 years too. You know, the AJ Kleins, the KOs, and Jeremiah George is making a name for himself in the NFL. You know, I mean, so we had not had guys drafted yet, but we've had some guys play some serious NFL minutes. And so, you know, whether they get drafted or not, whatever, but to answer your question, I mean, how do you pass? How do you not draft a guy like Alan Lazard eventually?
And someday? I think too, there've been some guys like Daniel Burton, probably would have had a shot had he not gotten hurt. Quentin Bundridge screams to me like a guy who would have been at least like a fifth round pick, or somebody would have taken a chance on guys like
EJ
that.
EJ Bibbs, you know, he's gonna play some. I mean, his football career is far from over. Could have been a draftee guy, but you know, some of that may be a product of our record and some of the things that we haven't been able to accomplish that I think we're going to be able to here in the next couple of years, and maybe that'll dictate some of our draft.
How much do you guys keep an eye on? And I know you can't say much, but with all the realignment stuff, like because clearly it's out there.
There's no question. You open up the paper, it's out there every day.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, I was talking to some guys the other day. It's like, look, everything that everybody talks about in the media, like, you think that we don't talk about that stuff? We do. But we don't. The draft realignment is one thing. I know you and I were talking about before we got on the show here, but we don't really talk about it in the office for whatever reason. Now. I go out to eat with my buddies on a Wednesday night. That's all we talk about. You and I are sitting here talking about it. But to honest to God truth, in the office, it's not something we talk about it. Because I don't know how much it'll affect. Maybe it'll affect how we recruit a little bit, who we recruit against. But I don't think it's going to affect the territories that we're pocketing to recruit.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if we get a Cincinnati or you get another team down, so whoever you get, maybe you – send one more guy to that area to recruit, or mm-hmm. maybe it helps you get a guy because you know you're going to play down there mm-hmm. or what have you. But, you know, we don't spend a ton of time talking about it in the office. We really don't.
I'm obsessed with it.
I know.
People have told me to shut
up. It's a fun thing to talk
about,
right?
Yeah, well, because there's so much speculation you can do. I mean,
yeah.
Like, it's like a cool mix of sports and politics. And
there's
like,
no question. But, like, I don't think that us as coaches and coaching staff, we have no control over it.
No.
Zero. Absolutely none.
No.
It's the presidents and the ADs. I think it's the presidents.
It's pretty much the presidents.
Pretty much
yeah.
the presidents.
The ADs are just delegators. I mean, they're just like the liaisons between the presidents and
yeah,
the schools.
Yeah, is the AD going to go against the president? Probably
not,
right?
That doesn't happen.
Often. So, but it is a fun thing to talk about at the dinner table.
Okay, let's get down to it. Are you a Cavaliers fan or are you a LeBron James fan?
I'm a LeBron James fan. The NBA is such a player-driven league. That's okay. Who you like, right?
Who were you a fan of growing up?
Well, Michael Jordan.
Okay.
The Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Right?
That was my team, but I stuck with them. I didn't just jump to the next big superstar.
I told you. I talked to Fred the other day. It's not like I hate the Bulls, yeah. man. I still like the Bulls, but I liked the Cavs. I saw LeBron James play in high school, just so everybody knows that. Okay. So I'm not just like a homer. So I liked LeBron. I liked the Cavs. Loved the Cavs when he was there. You know, followed the Heat pretty intensely when he was in Miami.
Did you like the decision? Like, if you're a big LeBron guy, I can see you going, hey, take my talents to Miami?
I've said this 1,000 times. It was a bad PR move by whoever he got his advice from. He was a 27-year-old man at the time that was given probably bad advice on how to do the decision. People forget all the time is, you know, he raised over $1 million for the Boys and Girls Club by doing that decision.
Yeah.
Not that $1 million is a ton for him, but I think it was a good cause. How he went about and did it and maybe not telling his boss beforehand, probably a bad deal. But everybody in this room right here, if we need to go take a better job to help us in our career, we're all going to do it with nobody questioning what we do, right? Well, he's just a guy in a spotlight that took a different job.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I don't hate LeBron, by the way. I'm not that guy. Across the board, I appreciate greatness. I like Tom Brady.
Exactly.
I like Jimmy Johnson at NASCAR. Like, if you're the best at what you do, then
it's fun to watch.
Yeah,
it's fun to watch because you're the best at what you do. But
should he have won the MVP?
No. Seth Curry was the best player this year, and there was no—I don't think there's any question.
I think
about
it depends on how you define it.
I
would have voted for Curry, but like if you want to go like most valuable to your team, it's LeBron.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
LeBron James is still the most dominant player in the world.
Yes.
Steph Curry. Steph Curry's
fantastic.
He's fantastic. He's the best offensive player maybe I've ever seen. Best shooter. I mean, I don't think
he's
there's an argument.
Changed the way that. Like little kids are playing basketball.
Yeah, and it gives you a chance. Like this guy who's not that big can play in the NBA at this high of a level. LeBron James, 270 pounds, 6'8 and a half. The guy is a physical specimen who can do everything. You know, you compare him. Everybody wants to say, well, he's not better than Michael Jordan. Well, he's a breed of Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and whoever. I mean, the guy can do it all.
Okay, let me give you this scenario. Harrison Barnes signs with the Bulls in the offseason.
Yo.
So you've got Fred Hoiberg.
McDermott.
And Harrison Barnes going up against LeBron and the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals next year.
Yeah, and my guy Jimmy Butler.
Andrew, you used to live with Jimmy Butler.
And my guy Jimmy.
We talked about that last year. Yeah. Give the people a rundown real quick.
Well, you know, Jimmy, he was at Marquette campus, and I was coaching at Whitewater and living in Milwaukee, and we lived in a place called 2040 Lofts, and his lease was up, and he needed a place to stay for a couple weeks, and I was in camp at Whitewater, and we said, hey, come on in, live on the couch, and whatever, quiet guy. Wasn't even starting for Marquette
at
the
time.
And just, you know, so we kind of developed a little bond there.
Did you give him, like, a text when he neutered Hoiberg and said that, like, Hoiberg isn't?
No, I should have, but and you never know how that was all portrayed, but
what, are you accusing the media of spinning
something? No, I'm not. That's not what I'm saying.
All right.
I don't know, you know. But, no, that's my claim to fame with Jimmy, but.
So your personal friend Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Greg McDermott's boy, Doug McDermott.
Yeah.
You got Harrison Barnes and the mayor. Would you root for that group or LeBron? Come on. Come on, Mitch.
You know, I got LeBron's my, like, he's my dude. Like, LeBron is, like, is my king. So, like,
it's a disappointing answer.
It is. But I'd be really happy if Hoiberg got a title. I mean, listen, you know. But I'd go for LeBron.
So, the LeBron, they come on, the Raptors, like, Give me something at them.
The number two seed in the East. They have a winning record against the West.
Yeah.
What?
It's the JV league.
But why? Like, why? Why does everybody say that? Because the other league scores more.
No, you stack the teams 1 through 8. Mm-hmm. The West is winning 6, 7.
No. I mean. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. The Pistons would have beaten the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Because the Grizzlies, like...
Where it fell apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Point being,
the West is better. I can't argue that the West isn't better.
I saw, like, on 538 that the Raptors going into the Eastern Conference Finals had, like, a 3% chance of winning the NBA Finals. And everybody else, like, you know, the Thunder and the...
Have a percent.
They all had, like, a good chance, percentage. Yeah. The Raptors had a 3%. Like, I didn't even... I flipped it on, and then yeah. I was watching, like, the Kentucky caucus, man. Yeah. Like, I can't even watch the East right now because LeBron's just killing
Were you bored or something?
Well,
yeah.
There's more background noise than anything. You know how it is with the little one running around.
And, oh, yeah. It can get crazy.
Yeah, man. You can't just sit and watch a game very often. But, no. Okay, so we're just going to assume – because LeBron, they're not losing.
But here's my point, and I hope. But just what you said is, like, they've been absolutely dominant in doing so. Yeah. It's not like they're squeaking by. I mean, they have been dominating in 9 games. I'm going to get a little Mount Union shout out here. I don't know if Coach Campbell will like this, but it's like Mount Union in Division III football. They don't play anybody. Get into the playoffs, and they absolutely still dominate.
Yeah.
Until maybe a championship game against Whitewater, you know, every now and then. But it's the same
D3
way.
It's like, smack.
Yeah, it was a little smack. But it's not like – you can't fault them for being a great team because they're not playing everybody that's great. You know what I mean?
No,
They're still
I don't
dominant.
Fault them at all.
But you're just saying the East isn't as good. I'll agree.
Well, I'm saying, like, as a personal, like a casual fan of the NBA, yeah. I'm casual unless the Bulls are relevant, which they're clearly not.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in, like, the business of the NBA. Like, yeah. The draft lottery is fascinating to me.
It is
like,
fascinating.
In the offseason, and the NBA draft is just, like, one of the best nights of the year. I love that. I love that type of the business of the NBA. This just doesn't intrigue me, the whole East, because I knew LeBron and the Cavs were going to come out of it, and I want to see who they get pinned against in the finals.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that the Cavs will win the finals this year. I don't know why.
They've got a legitimate chance. I mean, with their big three playing as well as they can, Kyrie is a guy that, you know, he's got some great skills, but, you know, he might not be as flashy or as strong as a Russell Westbrook, and certainly not as quick as Steph, but he can finish around the basket as good as any guard that you're around.
Who do you want to see your team play?
I want to see him play Golden State because I want to say that's who we beat.
Would the Cavs have beaten them last year with Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, I think they would have.
A lot of people think that.
I think they would have last year, but you'll never know. And again, you don't take anything away from what Golden State's doing right now is. I mean, it's. I will say this: it's must-watch TV on a Tuesday night when Golden State's playing. If you're a fan at all of the NBA, which I am, when not many people are, especially in Iowa, I'll turn the game on to watch Steph because it's must-see TV. The guy's incredible.
Yeah.
But
tonight'll be fun.
Tonight will be fun. It's a big game.
I've never looked forward to a non-Vols series more than the Thunder.
And the X factor in the whole thing might be Draymond Green.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a little pressing last game. You know, he shot 20 shots. He shot 20 shots 3 times in the playoffs already this year. He never shot more than 20 shots once in the regular season. I mean, he's a facilitator.
Oh, look at this stat.
He's a facilitator type guy.
He's more NBA analyst.
Oh, I'm a big NBA fan. I had a little stint. I worked with the Milwaukee Bucks 2009. The gym I was working for, we got to, like, stretch the opposing teams and stuff. And so it was my first glimpse of being, like, in an NBA locker room, being on the floor. And, like, they're incredible athletes.
I got my first taste of that this year, too. The no defense thing is
kind of – it's BS.
Yeah,
the guys play defense.
Especially with that 24-second shot clock.
There's no question.
It complicates things.
And I always compare it, like, you can't – like Megatron in football. You can't press cover him all day long. The guy will go by you. He'll go over you. He'll do something. It's just like you
That's
can't,
a great point.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People say, well, why is he's not guarding him? Why? Because he's not up in his face? Well, you can't go guard Russell Westbrook up in his face. He's going to blow by you. It doesn't matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So
especially with an 82-game schedule.
And yeah, yeah.
Maybe you got a back-to-back. Actually, they'd eliminated those. But
yeah, but you're right. Yeah. So.
Well, so your prediction, the Cavs will win?
Cavs win in 7 over – I'm going to say Golden State. I want it to be Golden State.
Yeah, I that intrigues me. But for some reason, and I don't know why, I was talking about this on the radio yesterday. I found, and I like Golden State. I like watching them play. I'm not like a Golden State hater. Yeah. I love Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I like Steve Kerr being a Bulls guy.
Yeah.
I found myself rooting for the Thunder.
I do too.
I don't know why.
I don't either, but I do too. I think it's going to be Golden State, and I want the Cavs to play Golden State, but I do too. I think maybe it's because Durant has been through the struggle.
Yeah.
We've watched, as a society, you've watched Durant struggle, and you know, and Ben, you know, the critics are out on him on some of the things he does, but he is a premier superstar.
I kind of think that Billy Donovan's a better coach than Steve Kerr too.
How good of a coach is Billy
Donovan? I mean, it's nothing against Steve Kerr, but I do feel like if you would have thrown a Hoiberg onto that team or named somebody really, they could have won.
Mark, you wonder what the feel in the locker room was with Mark Jackson, because he really couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, Steve Kerr's done a good job of putting the team together.
And I think Steve was just the perfect guy to go in there and be like, all right, boys.
This is how we're going to do it.
It's your team. I'm going to lay out the outline for you, and we're going to go have some fun.
Yeah, we want continuity.
I feel like Jackson was rhythm, maybe a little more of a
Jackson has
Thibodeau type.
Yeah, no question.
Not to that extreme.
No question.
Obviously.
But back to your Billy Donovan point, I think.
I just love the guy.
I mean, how about a coach to do what he did at Florida and almost be underrated? I mean, you didn't. He wasn't a national media guy all the time, and the consistency he had at Florida was unbelievable.
Yeah, especially when you're doing that against Kentucky.
The titles he won. Yeah, no question.
His like top to bottom, his resume is as strong as anybody's. Like, other than the obvious ones, there's
the Krzyzewskis and those. Yeah. But look, his resume is unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
So I'm kind of rooting for them. However, I think as long as the Cavs come out of the East, which they will.
Yeah.
We're going to see a sweet finals.
That'll be six straight.
I have one more college football take I want to bounce off of you. And it involves our guy, Tom Herman.
Okay.
We're both Tom Herman fans.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't realize that Houston plays Oklahoma in the first week next year.
I just read that the other day.
That's insane. But they have a shot to go to the playoffs.
And they also play Louisville.
Yeah. They play Louisville in November.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked about this on my show yesterday, too. So I apologize if you guys are listening to this twice, but I wanted to see what Mitch thinks.
Yeah.
If they beat Oklahoma.
Sure.
And then they have road games at Navy. They have a road game at
Are they at Memphis?
I believe so. I don't even know.
Cincinnati or Memphis.
At Cincinnati. And then Memphis, I just chalked them up as a win because I don't think they're going to be nearly as good.
Without Lynch.
Yeah, without Lynch. And they lost their coach. I think they drop off big time. But if they win those four games and they run the table, they should be in the playoffs, shouldn't they?
They will be. If they do that, but that's a big if.
It is, but like my whole point is, if you're a non-power five, like most of the time, I'm not going to vouch for a non-power five because it's not the same as going through a Big 12 schedule.
No.
However, like if you are in the American,
right,
you've gone out of your way to schedule Oklahoma and Louisville.
Yeah. Crazy.
Like what else can they do? My point. Like
they
I think
can't.
We could have a predicament this year.
Yeah, they can't. What else can you do? You're scheduling two very formidable opponents, Oklahoma and Louisville, are on the national scene, and you beat those guys, you're probably going to have a chance. You will be in the playoffs if you run the American. I mean, I don't think there's any question. I don't think any coach would argue against that. Those are some big ifs, and they lost the quarterback. But if anyone can do it, man, Herman and Yance and Coach Pope.
Has it been fun to watch those guys for you?
You know it has, and I talked to them. I was walking home from lunch the other day, and I called Yancey McKnight and just, you know, talked to him a little bit. Coach Pope called me on my birthday, and talking to that guy, you got to schedule an hour. You know, you can't get him off the phone.
It was disappointing when he left because he was one of the greatest interviews I've ever experienced,
and just the greatest human beings.
Oh, man, Barry Sanders story.
His wife Pam, she's a phenomenal lady, and I was actually a little side note here, but I was doing something for the university the other day, and a guy went to high school where Kenny Pope's mom was the lunch lady and had Kenny Pope mom stories that were just resembled Kenny Pope. I mean, it's just the guy's
fantastic.
Just a fantastic family, good human being. So, yeah, it is fun to watch those guys. And you know, when I call those guys and I talk to Coach Burnham a lot at Rutgers, and you know, a lot of times I call them and say, what's going on? What are you guys doing there? What are you doing there to kind of to make yourself a better better coach, or how are you making your players more efficient in those things? And so it's fun to bounce ideas off those guys, but they're all, you know, we talk about students of the game. They're all coaches that really study being a coach and study getting better at their craft as we expect student athletes to do. So it's fun. Those guys that are coming from that kind of Urban Meyer cloth.
Yeah.
He really puts a lot of onus on the coaches and make them become better coaches.
Did you hear the one where Tom called into the Houston Sports Talk radio station?
No.
And got into it with the host?
No, I saw a headline and I never read the story. What was it?
I don't even remember what they were. And then his wife got involved on Twitter.
Oh, geez.
It was something about this guy. Oh, it was who's the quarterback they got? The transfer.
I don't even. Where'd they get him from? A&M, maybe.
Yeah.
And because Ward was a senior, and they got a guy from A&M.
They got a transfer. Adam, if you could look that up, that'd be great. It was a fairly. Yeah. Kyle Allen. Yeah, that's who it was.
Yep.
And the guy, like one of the guys in the radio, had put out a report that Herman like said was not true. And
he
was on there,
out.
and Tom was just like, "How many practices have you been to? How many times have you come into the University of Houston?" And they just, I mean, they went at it for a good like 15 minutes.
That's great.
Yeah. It was really entertaining, and it was vintage Herman too, yeah. Because he's so smart.
Oh, he's,
and he's just like talking in circles around these
and
guys.
This guy is just head spinning, going, "Uh oh."
And I think the guy actually was pretty sharp too. Like, yeah. You don't do radio in Houston unless you're
spot.
It's the fourth biggest market in the country.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, yeah. Idea for sure. All right, Mitch, I know you got to go. Thanks for your time, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
It's always
here.
Good to catch up.
Can we not make it a year next time?
No, well, we should come in and do a NBA Finals.
I'm in.
As long you're the busy guy. I mean, you guys are out offering like 50 kids a day.
So. Well, that, and then we've got camps coming up.
Damn, sirens never quit ringing.
Sirens have yet to quit ringing, and
we need to get a real siren.
I know. Well, we've got one. Our cell phones in the office, we go off. But we need one in the office. Like,
we need to like hook it up with the city of Ames to do. Like,
before
a
we leave here,
tornado.
What did you think of us coming out in the spring game, the song?
Oh, my God.
Can we get it? You love it?
It was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I think you might have texted me during the game.
I did.
You were so excited about
it. I did. I was on the sidelines like
kitty. Just jacked.
Yeah.
And we're going to do some – I think we'll do some things on third downs this year and some more fan interaction.
That's awesome.
I mean
– I always tell, and I think people get tired of my stories from when I went to Ole Miss this year.
Well, but it's –
But, dude – Like the game, the in-game atmosphere there.
Insane.
Like, I mean, it's in the volume, too. Like, I always thought it was funny. Like, didn't Iowa complain about the volume or something a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Like, the volume in that stadium, they've got everything cranked up to a 15.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And you got to believe, like, and we're all homers here, but, like, there aren't better fans than Iowa State fans.
No,
there might be more of somebody somewhere else, but they're not better.
They're not more loyal.
So imagine a game day atmosphere that's you know, raised up to another level. It'll be.
What are the chances we keep Stone Cold Steve Austin for the entrance? I know that Campbell's a big WWE fan.
Oh, big time. There's a lot of now WWE fans in our office now. Lou and Skip and Coach Campbell. I think
we're gonna have a big WrestleMania party this year.
Yeah, yeah, they will too.
Yeah,
if they don't go to it.
Oh, that's true. This is true.
Yeah.
No. What are the? Give me a. I know you can't break the news. Give me a percent. I know that smoke on the water is gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Agreed. Give me a percentage on the Stone Cold Steve Austin sticking around.
I'm gonna take the easy way out.
You're gonna
say
direct me to Mary Pink on
I'm
this.
Say, no, I'm gonna say I'm gonna say 50-50. I can't really be wrong with that. Can I?
Yeah, no, you
That's
can't.
Pretty easy just, way, yeah.
Mitch Moore riding the fence here.
Yeah.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
We appreciate it. Thanks to AgriGold for sponsoring the podcast. We'll have Jared and Adam are coming up with the football recruiting podcast for Friday, I believe. Fawcast coming up tomorrow. Guys, I'm taking tomorrow off. I'm trying to, at least. So Jared's going to fill in on that, and I'll take it off as long as his damn sirens don't start sounding again, which you never know. All right, later, guys. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it.